I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm very passionate about what I'm going to be preaching about. I believe it. And I think it is so utterly important. And I want you boys to listen to me. And if you ain't listening, I'm going to call you out. I want you looking and listening to what I'm saying. Because it's for you. I mean, you're the ones I'm concerned about. I'm looking ahead. I'm looking down the road a little ways. And man, what I see, you guys are going to face. Man, you better be listening to everything you can get your mind around. I'm not going to try to, you know, like I said this morning, I'm not going to try to cover too much ground at one time. She's made these remarks about how many notes I've got, but a lot of it's scripture that I've got on the page here, so I don't have to fumble around trying to find it. And because I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight, it's necessary. Because this is from the Bible. This ain't just my opinions and my convictions and all of that. It ain't my hobby horses that I'm riding. This is Bible truth. And I want you to understand it that way. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about men against women. That ain't what I believe at all. I don't believe there's anything like that. Manhood is what God meant for it to be. A woman is a woman and a man is a man. And that's what I believe in. And I believe men should be strong. And I believe they should have courage. And they should be willing to put the foot to it, to put the hand to it when it's necessary. When our families, our country is at stake, the men must step up. And they must put their life on the line. That is not for the women to do. Do you know they're putting a bill in right now to force the girls to register to vote? I don't believe in that at all. Register to vote. Draft. Register for the draft. I'm sorry. I don't believe in that at all. I feared that years ago when my girls were young. You know, I don't have to worry about that for my girls, but I do for my granddaughters. You know, as far as I'm concerned, be over my dead body that they come and get my daughter and send her off to war. Now, my sons, that's a different story. They're men. That's their place. And you women ought to be glad for that. And you ought to agree with that. If there's anything that's destroying us, it's the women wanting to be men. And the men just being shoved off and they don't know what they are. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the songs. And it's been a blessing to be here already. And I pray, Lord, you'd help with this. Lord, it's been a burden on my soul for a long time. And now we're here, and I pray for help. I pray for guidance. I pray that the Spirit of God, you'd make it clear. I pray that everybody would listen, and I pray that everybody that hears this would understand what I'm trying to say. And understand the important things that you say from your Word that we're going to read here. Help us, Lord, I pray. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to read you just a few quotes here to start with. Theodore Roosevelt said, "We do not admire the man of timid peace," and we don't. "We admire the man who embodies victorious effort, the man who never wrongs his neighbor, who is prompt to help a friend, but who has those virile qualities necessary to win in the stern strife of actual life." That's the kind of presidents we used to have. We don't admire weak men. We don't admire men of timid peace. We admire men who step out there and do it when it's necessary. They're the heroes. They're the ones who save the day. Every time. Let me read you another quote. Elizabeth Elliot. Now this is a woman. She said, "Stand true to your calling to be a man. Real women will always be relieved and grateful when men are willing to be men." A woman simply is. Now, y'all going to have to think about this. A woman simply is. But a man must become. You're not a man just because you're a male and you grow up. A woman is a woman. But a man must become. A woman don't have anything to prove. She doesn't have anything to become. Little girls are mothers from the time they're little, and they dream about their wedding and having babies and all of that. I mean, they don't have to pass any tests. They don't have to be approved by anyone. Men do. Men must become a man. And there's things they have to be before anybody will agree that they're a man. All little boys know that. All little boys feel that. I grew up with that. That when I was a kid, it was a different world. But I'll tell you one thing. It was anything but be a sissy. Anything but be called a sissy. Or have somebody think you were weak or sissy or not able to come up to it. I would have died first. I remember when I was a teenager and one of the first jobs I had was hauling hay. And I weighed about 110 pounds. And I was out there all day one day. It was about 95 degrees in the hot summertime. And we were lifting bales that were soaked with water onto a truck. We had an elevator and it was loading them. We just had to throw it on it. But it broke. So the rest of the day we had to throw them up on the truck bed that was about to hear on me then. And I did it for about 7 hours. And I couldn't do it no more. And I was sick as a dog and just wore plumb out. But man, I was going to die before I would quit. There was boys there younger than me that didn't give out. And I did. The bales weighed about 75, 80 pounds apiece. I weighed 110. But I was determined. Now the boys that I know a lot of boys nowadays, they'd look at it and say, let somebody else do it. No, I ain't doing that. You sissy. I don't care. Boy, that ain't the kind of boys that I grew up with. That ain't the way it was when I grew up. It meant something to be a man. And every boy wanted to be a man. And he wanted to pass the test. And he wanted to be thought of as a man. And it was a terrible disgrace to be relegated to a sissy or a weakling. Wasn't it? You older guys, you remember, you know. A woman simply is, but a man must become. Masculinity is risky and elusive. It is achieved by a revolt from woman. Do you understand what they're saying there? And let me read the rest of the quote. It is achieved by a revolt from woman, and it is confirmed only by other men. Manhood coerced into sensitivity is no manhood at all. Do you understand what they're saying there? I would have done anything, and so would every other boy that I knew when I grew up. I would have done anything to keep from being thought of as feminine. I wouldn't wear flip-flops. There was no way you could have got me to wear flip-flops when I was a teenager. It was sissy. And I remember a boy getting on the bus, and he wore flip-flops, and he'd clack, 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 clack down the aisle of the bus, and we'd all just go, ah. When I was 6, 7 years old, I thought, man, what a weirdo. I wouldn't have done it. Shorts. To walk around in shorts and you know, blousy clothes. You know, I see boys now, and I have to look again because it looks like they got on a skirt. They got on these long, blousy shorts, and they're standing there like that with their drooping shirt, and it just looks like an old ugly girl standing there. And I wouldn't have done it for nothing. No earrings. If somebody would have come to school over here when I was going to school, if a boy would have come with an earring, I guarantee you he would not have went home with it. Because somebody would have jerked it out of his ear, probably the first one that seen it. And I ain't exaggerating and I ain't dreaming. I know how it was. Yes, sir. I mean, boys were boys who wanted to be men. They didn't want to be some halfway in between morphodite. One more quote. The test of every religious, political, or educational system is the man which it forms. You can think about that. What of our churches? What is our doctrine? What is all this movement we've all been involved in so long? What kind of men has it produced? Pretty pitiful. I want something different. I want something that's going to be true, that's going to produce some men. Now let me read you some scriptures here. And I want you to turn there. If you want to turn there right now, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. I want to read that, and I'm going to read you a couple other verses, and then we'll go to Ezekiel 22, and I want to read you that little passage there. But there's three verses that really... Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight simply is this. Where are the men? They are gone. I want you to understand tonight that we're living in a time when we're in great danger and there are no men. They're gone! And we're in big trouble. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them. This is God speaking. I sought for a man among them. Now, what is he looking for? A man. Say it. A man. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for a man. He ain't looking for a woman. He ain't looking for somebody that's a weakling or a feminine. I mean, he made it real clear he's looking for a man. And the rest of this scripture tells you, makes it real plain to you what he is looking for. He's looking for a real man. Not something in between. Not something less than. It's going to take a man for this situation. I looked for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Not one man. God looked and there was no man. No man there to stand for God in the gap. So he wouldn't destroy the land. So God wouldn't have to destroy it. It's ruined. It is ruined. And God's going to have to destroy it. Unless there's what? A man. A man. And God's looking for one. He looked at different times and found one. He found a Gideon. He found a Moses. He found a Samuel. He found a David. But this time he can't find nobody. That's the kind of times we're living in. Man alive. Look at all this election mess. What are we going to do? Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I sure ain't trusting in none of them. They're not the answer. There's not a man among them that's going to save us. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. Let me just read it to you. We'll go there, maybe there in just a little bit. There's another place I want to go, but listen to this. And he saw that there was no man. God saw that there was no man. This is another situation. No man among them. No man. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know. And seek in the broad places thereof. If ye can find a man. Did y'all listen? God said, go down there and run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I'll pardon it. Jerusalem's a mess. Jerusalem is ruined. And God says, if you can go down there and find one man, I'll fix it. So these three verses make it clear the fact that there was not a man to be found in the land. Now, the circumstances were the same in all three cases. It was a time of apostasy and wickedness when the society had been degraded to the point that God was about to destroy them. Israel. Please listen to me. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23, let's read those verses so you can see what the situation was like in the land where he couldn't find a man, and he's going to have to destroy it because he couldn't find a man. And see if it sounds familiar to what we have right now. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they shewed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Reckon that's happening on Super Bowl Sunday? Reckon that happens in the churches where they got the smoke and the lights and the banging, beating bell music going on? You reckon? Reckon that's anything similar? Oh, yes, it is. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Look at your politicians. What are they doing? What have they done for so long? They're the princes of the land. They're devouring souls. They're devouring all for gain. All them jokers are rich and filling their pockets. Hillary Clinton said they left the White House broke. And I remember before they left the White House, they signed an $8 million advance on their memoirs before they left. And she said they left bankrupt. Lying things. They're all liars. And they're doing it all for their own selfish gain. We're in the same shape as they were right here. And why are they doing it? Because there ain't no men. There ain't no men to stand up and say, you're not going to do that. They talk and argue and debate and blah, blah, blah. That ain't the manly way of dealing with problems. You talk and you try to avoid it, but when talking ain't going to do no good, you put something else to it. And you make it change. You make the evil stop. That's right. That's the way men deal with problems. That's the way men go to war. They don't draw a line and say, now y'all can't cross here, and we're not crossing there. That ain't the way men fight wars. They said, we're going to fight you until we rid the earth of your shadow. We're not going to surrender. Never, never, never surrender. That's the way men fight wars. Churchill was a man. I don't care what else he was, whatever you think of him, he was a man. And he fought like a man. He thought like a man. And that's how come he won. And that's how come the evil lost. Because some men stepped up and said, we'll die if we have to. That's why you've got a free country that you've lived in. That's why we've got the blessings we've got, is because there were some men back there that said it. I mean, men will do that. There's more to them than lust, and more to them than being bullies, and there's more to them than being like a brute beast. They got higher ideals to live by and to die for. That's what makes a man. Let me read the rest of this scripture. Her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. You hear that going on? I've got a word from God. Got a word from God from some joker that's an adulterer and a thief and a whoremonger. He didn't get no word from God. He's lying. You'll know it when a man has a word from God. You won't have to be guessing about it. That's what they were doing back then. That's what's happening right now as we are in our society that we're living in. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord. Look with me in Isaiah 59. Jump over there. You'll have to jump back in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 59. Rattle them pages. There you go. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Man, everything's messed up. It's wrong. And nothing goes right. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there's no judgment in their goings. They've made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, darkness. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. And we stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. See? When judgment's turned around backwards, when we're in such a mess as that, that's what we're in right now. They didn't have any men, and we don't either. I want you to see that tonight. That is the terrible distress and danger that we're in. We don't have any men. So where are they? Now this is an important fact that we ought to consider in times like ours. The low state of things, the low moral state, and the confused state that everything is in is connected with the fact that there are no men to be found. Do you got that? All this mess that we got, you can't blame it on the economy, and you can't blame it on the politicians, and you can't blame it on the women. I mean, the fact is, our men, they're not up. They're not involved. They're not participating. They've excused themselves. They're AWOL. In times of trouble, true men are found, if there are any to be found. I mean, that's kind of what bothers me here. Are we going to have to come to the place where our lives are absolutely in danger, that we're running and fleeing from the enemies daily, literally, really, before we're going to see any men step up? I mean, is that what it's going to take before we find out if we really have any or not? Probably. We can look at history. We can look at our own history as a nation. We can see that in the past generations, there were true men there when the times demanded them. We can look at the history of Israel, and without exception, when there was a great deliverance, there was always a man who was found and who led the way to victory over the evil. Now, ain't that right? That's the way it happened every time. There was Jephthah. There was Gideon. Oh, there was Samson. There was on and on and on. Go through the Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of the faith, and you'll see. It's always been that way. God looked and found a man. He found Gideon threshing wheat, hiding and threshing wheat because they were so oppressed by the enemy he was hiding to death. God said, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." The angel did. He engaged again and said, "Who are you talking to?" "I'm talking to you." But he was the man that God was looking for, and he was a man. All right? If God looks for a man when the people are in trouble, it would behoove us to look for some men when we're in troubled times also. And it would behoove us to look for them ahead of time instead of waiting until it's almost over and then hoping for them. Men don't come out of nowhere. Men are made. And they're made out of boys and young men. And they're made from hard things. You know the old saying, girls are made out of sugar and spice and everything nice. Boys are made out of snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. Well, that's probably a man who made that up. Because that's the way it looks to him, too. Men are made out of hard things. Hardship. Hard labor. Hardness. I really do believe that the only reason we won World War II was because of the men who had been through the Depression. Yes, sir, buddy. They had come up hard. And they had learned how to make the best of little. And do without. And how to be strong. And how to face adversity. And they had something to fight for. That's what a man has to have. He has to have a reason to fight. Something to fight for. Some purpose besides his own selfishness. And his own greed. He will fight. A man will for his country. A man will fight for his family. He'll defend his wife. He's ready to fight you for it. I mean, you mess with his wife. You mess with his children. You mess with his country. You mess with somebody he loves. You know, a man will stand up for that. You know, we've taught this mellowed down Christianity that we had for so long, and it's also watered down and messed up. They don't understand anymore, and they've raised all these boys to think, you can't fight, you can't fight, you can't fight. Oh, yes, you can. You better learn to fight. And you better learn how to, and you better know when to. That's right. Amen. Some of the manliest men that ever walked the face of this earth were godly men. In fact, the best men, the most manly men that ever walked this earth were godly men. Because it takes God to make a real man.
That's right.
Yes, sir. And you can't imagine, we can't imagine tonight, the strength of Moses, for example. I mean, what a man. Moses was a man. I mean, he stood the test. He faced the biggest adversity that any man's ever faced. I mean, he stood. I mean, I've thought about it a lot of times. He ground up that idol of theirs and burned it in the fire and put it in their water and made them drink it. There was 2.5 million of them and one of him, but he made them drink it. He must have had some authority. He must have spoken with some authority. He was a man. He knew what he was. He knew what his purpose was. He knew why. He knew what God had said. And he did it. He stood. Is do or die. You women just don't understand this stuff about a man. You don't understand. We don't understand why you want to have babies and why you dream of weddings and all that. To us, that's just like, man, what in the world? We don't think like that. And so we don't understand you. But we know you're that way. We know that's the way God made you. We know that's the way it is. You need to understand that men have this in them too. And it's by design. By God, a man must have dominion. He must. He conquers. He must conquer. He must prevail. He has to. It's in us. We have this just a natural push and desire toward it, just like a bird does to fly south in the wintertime. Yes. When God created Adam and He said, have dominion over the earth and over the beast of the field and over the fowl of the air and over the fish of the sea. That's just what He meant. And that's the way it is. And you can watch any little boy play that hasn't had his mind warped up by a messed up mama and you'll see the same things in the little boy. He's got it in him. He's going to conquer. He's going to climb. He's going to do things. And he's going to have a gun. I don't care what you do. You can keep all the guns away from him. He's going to have a gun. If he has to make one out of a Pop-Tart. That's the nature that God put in man. And don't forget, it's in the image and likeness of God. It takes the male and the female to complete the image of God. God ain't all male. That's kind of, I know that's getting off where people can't understand. But when a man and woman become one, they form the image of God. That's why it's so important that the woman be a woman and the man be a man. And it's not inequality. It's not that one's better than the other. It's just that it takes both of us for things to work. A child needs a father and a mother, not two mothers, not a mother and a sissy father, not a sissy father and a manly mother. He don't need an assertive, strong, courageous mother. He needs a dad who's got some backbone and some grit and some purpose and some determination in him. And he needs a mother who's soft and tender and kind and gentle. And dad's supposed to be gentle too. He's not a bully and a beast and a ape. He ain't that at all. But there's the two orders there. And that's the way it is. And you can't believe the Bible and believe anything else. David said to his son, he said, come here, these are my last words. Solomon, be strong and show thyself a man. That's David's dying words to his son. Show yourself a man. Be strong. God said to Joshua, get off the ground. Stand up there.
Be strong. He says it over and over to Joshua. Be strong and show thyself a man. God never says that to a woman. Never.
There's a lot of things. You know, women can be tough. They have to endure some hard things sometimes. And they got to do it. Sometimes men have to do the things that a woman does. I mean, a man loses his wife, got children. He has to do some of the things that a woman normally would do.
Sure,
we all understand that. But we understand that the design is for father and for mother, for man and for woman. And we've got it out of whack. We've got women and everything's feminine and the men are gone. Manhood is banished from our society, from our thinking, from our churches, from our families. It's considered wrong for a man to be a man in the day we live in. Yes, sir, it is. Mercy. If God looks for a man when the people are in trouble, then we ought to look for him. And I'm not just speaking of our nation and world, but of our homes and our schools and our churches. You know what we need in our churches? We need men. And you know what we need in order to have men in our churches? We need pastors that are men. And they know how to act like men. That know how to work like men. And know how to think like men. And there'd be a lot less trouble in the church when you got a man standing behind the pulpit who loves God and knows the Word of God and means to stand on it. Yes, sir. And you'll have men in the church when you got a man for a pastor. Now, you got a wimp for a pastor, you ain't going to have nothing but wimps in the pews. And the women are going to run everything and all it'll be is a big free-for-all. Amen. That's right. That's why the Bible says that about the women keeping silence in the church. Boy, listen to the choir. That's what the... Did you know the Bible says that? Does it mean they ain't supposed to testify or anything? No, that ain't what it means at all. It just means the men are supposed to run things. That's right. Mm-hmm. I've been in it a long time. And I'll tell you what, a preacher told me years ago, and I've followed it through, and I've watched it ever since, and I've found it to be true in my experience now, and his too. But every time there's a big uproar in the church, you can trace it right back to a woman somewhere. I know, that's offensive, and I'm picking on the women. I'm just telling you the truth. Men need to step up and be men. One of the first experiences I had in church, and I had just been saved a month or two, and they had a big knockdown, drag-out fight. And one old woman in the church, always running her mouth, and her husband would never say nothing, but he did that time. She was back there running her mouth, and he stood up, and she was in the back, and he's in front. He stood up, and he called her name, and he said, "Just shut up!" Boy, she did, too. And the strife ceased. Amen. We need men in the churches. We need men in our homes. You want the homes to straighten out? Hey, look for a man. That's what God does when troubles are there. When everything's in a mess and it's all confusion and it looks like the whole thing's going to end up in hell. God looks for a man. Hey, if your home's in a mess, why don't you look for a man? Why don't the man stand up there and step up and take his rightful place and be the man? I'm so sick of this feminized world. Everywhere you look, I'm sick of Judge Jeannie. I'm sick of Sarah Palin. I'm sick of all these loudmouth women doing all the talking. That Ann Coulter, she makes me sick. Now, what they say, I agree with. But they oughtn't to be saying it. There ought to be a man stand up there and say it. And I don't care how fierce a woman is, she does not speak with authority like a man. You let a man that's got some grit in his soul get up and say that stuff, and I guarantee you, it'll change some things, and people will listen. And it'll make people back up and say, "Whoa." But a woman says, "Da, da, da," and everybody's just thinking, it's entertainment. Nobody takes it seriously. I don't care. You don't like it? I'm telling you the truth. The men ain't saying nothing. And the ones that are saying anything, they're talking just like the women. They don't speak with authority. They don't say something and not back up. Keep your mouth shut if you don't know what you're talking about. And if you're going to say something, make sure it's right. And when you spit it out there and say it, don't back up and apologize the next day. Amen. If women want a happy marriage, they better make sure they marry a man. And they better keep him a man and not try to emasculate him. You women better understand that. You ain't going to be happy. Elizabeth Elliot said it. That's right. And I read a little thing here a while back, and it was an article, and I don't remember what it was about, but it was talking about courtship and everything, and it was worldly people talking about it. But here's a little remark they said. They said, when it comes to courtship and everything, all the feminist ideas don't count. Women don't want what they say they want in a man. They want a man. They don't want a feminized man. Really. They really don't. They want a man. They want a man that'll protect them and stand for them and provide for them and love them and be strong. They want that strength over them. Yes, they do. It's the nature that God put in them when He made us that way. If you want a church that's effective and a place where God can work, we better let the men run things and make the important decisions and teach the Word of God. We don't need the women teaching the Word of God. Amen. Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in. You think that's bad? You think that's me saying that? That's the Bible. That's the order that God laid down very clearly in the Bible. Every church that I've visited a lot of churches. I've got to know a lot of churches through the years when we did all of our traveling and stuff. And the churches where things were smooth sailing and the church was healthy and doing good, the men ran things. The men met. One man wasn't ruling the whole thing. When there was an important decision to be made, the men met together and they talked it over and said, okay, well, this is what the best thing to do. You know, men do that and they don't get in knockdown, drag out fights. Men, there's just a thing about men. I mean, if you don't stop in the limits, I mean, you're liable to get your snoot busted. Men don't mess around. They don't just say, men don't do that. Men will talk a little bit and try to reason it out and try to work things out. But if we can't do it that way, all right, we'll do it another way. Is that right? That's exactly the way it is. Men have a mutual respect between men that way. They don't really want to fight. They want to get along, but they know that is on the table if it comes down to it. So that's a deterrent. You work things out. Women don't do that. They just talk and argue and scream and cry and everything forever. It just goes on and on and on. They never get anything settled. That's the way our world, that's why we're in such a mess. That's the way it's been being run. If it ain't women running it, it's feminine men running it who think like women. And I'm not putting down women. I like for women to be feminine. That's what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to think like that. God made them that way. That's the way it's supposed to be. I ain't saying that's terrible and that's awful. I'm just saying it's bad and we're messed up. And I'm fixing to read it to you in the Bible. When we get in that shape where the women are running things. And when feminine thinking is the order of the day and the prevailing way of doing things. This is going to really win me friends and influence people, I'm sure. There's some women I know that's going to hear this and they're going to be mad at me. But I'm not preaching against women. I'm preaching for manhood. It's lost. We got plenty of feminism. We got plenty of feminine things. What we need is manhood back. There's only one thing that stands between a people and oppression and death and destruction, and that's a true man. Do y'all realize that? That's the only thing. The only thing stands between us. I'm going to try to hurry. True manhood is indispensable, but our society has dispensed with it. It's been replaced by aggressive female talk and rhetoric. And we're a people now that's satisfied and take some kind of comfort in listening to loudmouthed females like Judge Jeanne and Ann Coulter and Sarah Palin and all of them talking tough about politics and foreign relations and low-life men. It's offensive to me. It's offensive to my soul because it's wrong. And I've really got more ingrained in that than I was even 2 or 3 years ago. I'd listen to some of them and say, yeah. Now I think, what? Where are the men? Where's the man that's going to stand up and talk like that? If a man stands up and talks like that, guess what? He is censored. Out he goes. Strength
and assertiveness and courage and all of that is resented in a man. But it's admired in a woman. A woman's standard for achievement is the traits that belong to a man. That's their ruler. The more like a man they can be, the better they've achieved whatever their goal is to be. The same things that they despise in a man, they honor in a woman. We're upside down. We're backwards.
I can hold that little baby back there. Gentle. I mean, that don't make me feminine because I can hold that little baby and coddle that little baby and all that, you know.
A woman can step up when she needs to and do hard things. And all women have to, at some point in their life, they have to face hard things. Yes, sir. They have to summon up strength from somewhere. It's much better for them, much easier for them if they got a man to stand there with them. Sometimes they don't, though. And then they have to have strength from somewhere. Women have to be strong. Sometimes women have to be brave. Sometimes women have to exercise the qualities that are natural to a man. And it's not wrong. But when a woman dishonors a man for being strong and then honors herself for being strong, that's messed up.
A woman ought to be, now I don't want to say proud, but a woman ought to be gratified with herself that she can do that stuff if she has to, but that's not what she really is. That's not the main of her life and her existence.
And a man ought to be satisfied with himself that he can be gentle and that he can change a diaper if he has to, and that he can wash the dishes if mama's sick and can't do it or needs help or whatever. But that's not the main of his life. That's not his place. He can do it if it's necessary. There's nothing. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about the main. We've lost the main here. We've lost the way, the proper order that it's supposed to be. Now, we're people that's satisfied and all of this with the women running things. Even the men, the males, who are in leadership positions or in positions of influence through the media and all that, they do nothing but talk. And I get so sick of it. I get so sick of men who just talk and talk and talk and don't do nothing. I want to see a man do something. If you say you're going to get up there when you get elected and you're going to do this, then get up there and do it. Amen. Reagan wasn't perfect, but he was the last president we had that did that. That you could absolutely see. I remember so many things well from those days. And how I didn't even vote for him the first time because I was too ignorant. But he won my confidence. Because when he said something, he meant it. And if he said, you're not going to do that, you wasn't going to do it. All those airline air traffic controllers said, we're going to strike. And he said, you ain't either. And they said, oh, we will too. And he said, if you do, you're fired. And they said, you can't do that. And he said, try me. They did it, and he fired them. And he made it stick. And it won him the confidence of the people. That was one of the first things that happened after he got to be president. That and the Iranian hostages. He told them before he was ever elected, you better say your prayers, boys, because the day I come in office, I'm coming after you. And we're getting those people back. And I mean, the day he was inaugurated, they turned him loose before he could do anything. Because they took him at his word. They believed that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. And it changed our whole country. We were used to Carter and the shame and disgrace and the weakness and the nothingness, just pretty much like we got now. Only what we got now is worse. But it was bad then. And it was good for our country to see a man act like a man. He wasn't mean. He wasn't cruel. He wasn't rude. He'd smile. He would be nice to people. And he didn't haul off. He didn't cuss people and talk filthy like some of these are now, you know. He acted like he acted presidential. He acted like a man with honor, with purpose, with conviction about what's right. And he went and did it. And that's just an example, you know. Y'all kids don't even remember. You don't know what I'm talking about. All you, it's just history far away to you. You don't remember it. You weren't there. It's just like a story to you. But it happened. It happened. And it could happen again if we had men. Just talking. That's a feminine attribute.
Men don't talk forever. They do something about it. True men will talk until it becomes obvious the talking ain't going to do any good. It's not going to resolve the issue. And then they'll put their hands to it and their feet to it and they'll make something happen. True men make things change when things are wrong. But if there's no man to step up and make things change, they don't change. And destruction and confusion and misery are sure to follow. Right, where are the men? Where are they? Let me tell you where they're at. They've been pushed aside and displaced in every area of our lives and our society. Women have taken over every part of everything in our society. Men don't have any place anymore, and women are preferred above them for almost any job or position, especially if it involves any kind of authority. Have y'all found that out? Y'all at work in stores and factories and places and schools and government offices and everywhere else, have you figured that out? The women get the jobs. Try to get a job with the state somewhere if you're a man. Forget it. Unless it's out on the road digging and anything hard like that. If it's any place of authority, if it's any place that's a high-paying job, it goes to a woman. Try to get a postmaster job. Huh? You ain't going to get it. Nope. The men have been pushed aside. They've been made to feel ashamed of being a man and ashamed of acting like a man. That's what I worry about you boys. You live in a society here that makes it a shame for you to act like a man. You're some kind of an idiot. You're some kind of a lowlife. You're stepping way out of line if you're assertive. Boy, it sets them back when they run into an assertive man. It's the most offensive thing to this feminized society that there is. A man who will stand up and say, I'll fight you. You're not going to do that. I'm stopping it right here. It ain't going to happen. Whoa! Well, that's what it's supposed to do. It's a great asset to everything. It's a great asset to your home when you got a man there that says, hey, this nonsense is going to stop right now. And it stops. Mama can just, you stop it. You boys better stop it, okay? I mean, I'll give you something if you'll not. If you'll behave yourself, I'll take you and buy you some ice cream. Sick. That's what's wrong with us. There needs to be a dad who stands up and said, all right, boy, that's the last time you're going to do that. Now, try me. Do it one more time. I'm going to pound you until you're going to wish you hadn't have done it. I guarantee you, it'll bring peace to the home. You don't have to do that all the time. All you got to do is just be there. They know they ain't going to pull that junk on dad. All you women have done the same thing. I'll tell your daddy when he gets home. What does that do to the kids? No, Mom, please, don't tell daddy. They ain't afraid of Mom, but they ought to be afraid of daddy when they're not right. Yes, sir. It does wonders for a child growing up to know that there is somebody stronger, bigger, more determined than they are. I always told my boys, now, there are a lot of them bigger than me now, but that don't make no difference. I told them when they were growing up, I don't care how big you get, I'll whoop you. If I have to get a club or whatever I got to get, I'm going to win. Because I'm much more determined than you are. And I'm in it, too. And I would have, too. That's what it takes. You want to make a boy a man? He's going to have a man's example before him. That's right. And I ain't talking about being a bully and just being somebody picking on them and mistreating them and all that. They just need to recognize the authority that's backed up with what it takes to enforce it. That's all they need to have is that knowledge and understanding that that's there and that's what they're going to face. It'll stop them. They'll stop. They don't want to face that. All right, let me hurry up here. The boys have been made to feel ashamed of being a man, acting like a man. Anything manly has been labeled as sexist. Makes me want to puke when I hear that word. All the women are sexist in our day that we live in. That's all that some of y'all, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about all the worldly, the prevailing attitude of the women. Let me put it that way. They're sexist. It's all about men. It's against men. You got to watch them men. You got to stop them men. I mean, boy, if they act like a man and use that man stuff, I mean, you better just... It's all about whether you're a man or not, whether it's acceptable or not. That's sexist. I keep losing my place here. Y'all quit distracting me like this. Or somehow the mark of a low-life, stupid, childish boy. The boys are now being taught that guns are immoral and punished for playing and pretending they have a gun. All the schools have banned any kind of toy guns and all of this. And I wouldn't have had nothing to play with when I was a kid. We always had guns. Always.
When we went to school in the first grade, I took my guns with me. I did. And at the recess, we played cowboys and Indians. And we shot each other all the time. And there ain't nobody that I went to school with then that I know of that ever shot anybody or killed anybody. For real. We were boys. And we played. And every Christmas, what did I want for Christmas, Dad? Guns. Need a new set of guns. Them's wore out. And when we got new guns, we got some rolls of caps to go with them. And they popped good for a while until all the caps were gone. Had to have guns because we were boys. Now boys are banned from playing with guns because that's dangerous. And it's, what are you making there out of these? What are they making out of these little old boys that are going to school and being taught by their women teachers and living with their mamas and they can't play with guns? And they dress them like little girls. And they're taking all of the hope of manhood out of them. They're turning them into feminine, soft, weak nothings. While we're doing that, the foreign countries, I watched over in Russia, and one of their school classes was being able to take an AK-47 apart and put it back together as fast as they could. As in their class, they're teaching their kids how to handle guns. And we're taking our boys, we can't let our boys play with guns. It's dangerous and it's scary. Who's it scaring? The women. Women are scared of guns. So they don't want them. They don't want to see them. You scare me with that gun. Yeah. You won't be scared of it when ISIS is coming in and cutting off heads and gutting everybody in. And you're standing there and nobody to protect you. You'd be thanking God if somebody's got a gun around you. Gun-free zones. Why don't they make a gun-free zone around the president? They're so scared of guns. Make him safe. Get him away from me. They've been feminized. And I'm telling you where the men, I'm telling you where they're at. They've been feminized and emasculated and smothered by their liberated mothers and sisters. And they've been marginalized out of the workings of society. That means to treat a person or a group as insignificant or peripheral. They don't matter. Boys don't matter. This is a woman's world now. That's where they're at. You know, many, if not most boys are now raised by a woman, by herself. They're taught in school by a woman. And when they get their job, their boss is a woman. And if you go to the post office, the postmaster is always going to be a woman. If you work for the government, your boss is going to most likely be a woman. If you go before a judge, it's probably going to be a woman. If you join the military, your commanding officer, very likely, could be a woman. How would you like that, Raymond, having a female commanding officer? What would it have been like in the jungle with a woman running things? Mercy. And you know, it's funny how this global warming thing makes a fool out of them every time every year when they have their big conference and get together, they get snowed completely under. They even tried it having it in Cancun, Mexico one year, and it was the coldest temperatures down there on record while they were trying to have their meeting. That's how it works. It works the same way here. I read yesterday where the first woman who volunteered as a combat engineer is AWOL and a deserter. She's now in the brig. They got her. First woman, they quoted all of her statements back in the fall when she joined up. All the news were interviewing her and everything. First woman to volunteer for combat duty. And she was telling how a woman can do anything a man can do. And all we need is just the chance to prove it. And she didn't even make it through training. She left in the middle of training at Fort Leonard Wood and didn't come back. Isn't it funny how that works? I mean, you got to be really, man, off of your rocker to think about putting women in with men on the front lines in battle, fighting, in war. You got to be off your rocker. There's so many things wrong with that. And it is a disaster that's going to happen when they do that. Women have helped in all the wars. In World War II, it was the women's auxiliary. Do you know what that means? That word means help. They helped. Isn't that funny? God made Adam a what? A help. Meet for him. That's what she's supposed to do. Help. She ain't supposed to be out there in the front, fighting where the man's supposed to be fighting. She ain't equipped for it. Her mind, her emotions, her body is not physically made for that. And then besides that, it's just the natural thing for a man to defend a woman. And he's going to be distracted from fighting the enemy because of this woman he's got to protect. Yes. There ain't a man that wouldn't do it. He'll put himself in front of her. And he'll be worried about her. God made us that way. You women ought to be glad about that. If you call your senator or representative, you're more than likely going to get a woman.
If you need a police officer, it might very well be a woman that shows up. A while back, I seen this woman state patrol stop this big black guy. And he took her gun away from her before she could say scat. I mean, he put her down on the ground and just beat the ever-living daylights out of her. And she was as helpless as a rag doll. A woman who was trained, who had went through the academy, who had been through all the training. And she didn't have a chance. You know, that's one thing women do not understand. I've told my daughters and my wife and other girls that will listen to me, you do not understand how much stronger a man is than you are. Now, you may think you're the toughest little old gal that ever hit the face of the earth, but I guarantee you, some of the weakest men can handle you just like you're nothing. You don't believe that? You just need to let a man get a hold of you one time. That's right. You know, judo. Ha ha. Real life's different than the movies. Real life's different than all that fantasy junk that you see. You better listen to what I'm telling you. You little girls, you better listen. You better understand that fact. Well, if you go visit a government office, you're going to find a woman in charge there. If you go visit a church somewhere, the pastor might be a woman. In any of these positions that are filled by a man, it's usually a feminine man who has a feminine view of everything. And we're to the point now that just being a woman qualifies you to be president of the United States. That's what Hillary's running on. Her main qualification is she's a woman. I heard her say one time, who would not want a woman for president? I mean, she thinks that because she's a woman, she ought to be president just because she's a woman. And we're to that point now. And at the same time, we have almost no manly example. Most boys don't have any manly example in their lives at all. If there is a man, he's usually a lazy, beer-drinking, weed-smoking, filthy-mouthed, godless little boy in a man's body who lives for his games and his toys. And that's the only example they've got of a man. So naturally, the little boy's either going to grow up to be like his mother, or he's going to be like the male examples of degraded manhood that he sees in his life. All right? I'm going to try to read this real quick. Isaiah chapter 3. I want you to listen and see what the situation was. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doeth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. All of those are men. God says they're all gone. There's no men of war. There's no mighty men. There's no counselors. There's no judges. There's nobody that can make stuff and do things. And they're all gone. And he said, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Does that sound familiar? When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. My. In that, it just sounds like what's happening right now to us. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be a healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. Nobody wants the job. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The shield of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of the people of his people, the old ones. The old ones that let it get in this mess. The old ones that gave up the standards, lowered the standards, did away with the right order. They started letting everything fall to pieces and go to pot. They didn't stand their ground for God's divine order in the home, in the church, in our government, in our land. They just gave it up and let it go. God said, I'm going to deal with them. I'm going to enter into judgment with the ancients of the people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? You see the shape they were in? Children were their oppressors, and who was it ruling over them? Does it sound like what we got right now? Sure does. Exactly. You ever been to Walmart lately and see how the kids act? You guys work at Walmart, you see how them kids act when they come in there? Totally out of control. Children are our oppressors. Everybody seems to live for their children and their school and their activities and their ball games and everything they're doing. Their life is totally wrapped up in their children's lives. Where the proper order is for the children's lives to be wrapped up in their parents' lives. But it's got all backwards now. Children are our oppressors. And women rule over us. Where are the men? I'm telling you where the men are. They're gone. All right, let me hurry up here. I know it's taking too long. Where are the boys? We have the same number of males as we've always had. It just works out that way. You know, if you hatch out chickens, you're going to get about half roosters. And the way it works with every species like this, I mean, we end up about half. There's always a few more females than there are males, but not very many. We've got the same amount of males as we've always had. We just don't have as many men. So what are these males that are not men? What are they? Well, they're boys and men who've given up on being a man. You boys listening to me? They give up on it. They've been brainwashed into thinking that they're wrong, for thinking they should lead or be strong or have the final say in anything. They're men and boys who've just given up being a man because it just ain't worth the hassle. I was reading a thing here a while back, and that's what it said. It was bewailing the fact that there's so many young men that just give up on women. They just don't even care anymore. They don't want to fool with them. They'd rather just play their little game and watch their pornography and just have their toys and forget it. Women just ain't worth the hassle. That's what it says. If they do get involved with a woman and it doesn't work out, they lose everything they got. The woman walks off with the children, with everything he's got. He pays for the children. He pays for the everything. So men just saying, it ain't worth it. Rather just be a hermit. Rather be single. Not even, it just ain't worth it. Leaving the natural use of the woman. And it's getting worse and worse. Because men have too many alternatives to go to now. With all this virtual filth that's going on now. It's unbelievable what they're doing. And they're making it easier for men to just resign from it all. And just go hide somewhere in their little dark room. And forget it. That's where the men are. And that's what these males are that are not men. They're men and boys who've given up. It's easier to just retreat into watching sports, playing video games, having hobbies, or just working than it is to face all of this. So most males have just retreated to a place outside the workings of society, and they live there in irrelevance, marginalized. They don't count anymore. Women are ruling everything. The males are just... they don't count. They're not involved. They don't have any part anymore. They just do their thing by themselves and they've resigned. They've opted out rather than face the hassle of it all and the struggle of it all. It's easier. Now, some of them work their jobs and live their lives, but they have no real say in anything about the way their money's spent, their children are raised, or their home is run. The women in their lives make all those decisions and they don't even put up any resistance. We laugh about it and think it's funny, but it ain't funny. It ain't supposed to be that way. We laugh at the guys because the women run everything and they make all the decisions and they decide what they're going to buy and what they're not going to buy and they decide how everything's going to be and what mama wants, mama gets. And if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And so that's the way the things run. And we all laugh about it and think it's funny. And it's our destruction. It's why there's no men. Amen. Yes, sir, buddy. Where are you going to go to hear this? How many preachers do you know that'll stand up here and say these things? They're scared too. They're scared of all these fierce women in the church looking at us. And besides, they got a paycheck and they'll get cut off. Yeah. Their deep desire to be a man is only fulfilled in empty imitations like indulging themselves in things like hunting and riding motorcycles and going to the gym and racing cars and stuff like that. That's the only place they can feel anything like a man. Because it makes them feel tough. Shoot something. Go out here and run fast. Wear a leather jacket and ride my bike. That'll make me feel like a man. I mean, I'm not being critical of all those things. I'm just saying that's what men are doing. That's the only way they're expressing or feeling any kind of manliness is in empty things like that, that are just imitation and replacement of where they ought to be exercising dominion and strength. These are the only ways they ever experience any kind of dominion or conquer anything. They're forced to try to conform to female emotions and feminine ways of thinking. But there's something in them that revolts against all of that. Manhood, remember the quote at the beginning? Manhood is revolt against woman. Try to make a little boy be a woman, think like a woman, feel like a woman. Oh, it makes me so angry and upset to see a mother doting on a little boy and making him feminine and growing his hair out and just treating him like a little girl and protecting him from everything. And the little boy's limp-wristed and grows up that way. Oh. As a result, many males become violent because you can't squelch what's naturally in a man. You want to know what all this violence is about? This is what it's about. You know what gangs are about? Gangs are made up of young black guys who live in the city and who are raised by a single mother, and their social worker's a mother, and their school teacher's a mother, and they have no male example of a man in their life, and so they join a gang and be violent because it's in them. They got something that's got to go somewhere. They can't play with dolls and dress up and all that. That ain't going to work. If something's going to blow. And that's why. And that's why that we got people, we see them joining these outfits like ISIS and other groups that are violent and evil. And they're being used to, using force to exercise dominion. Isn't it a mystery to you? Is it a mystery to you why these young girls are going over there to join ISIS and be their brides? Huh? Well, what do you think those girls are looking for that they can't find here? Men. They see the violence. They see the assertiveness and the force and the aggression. And it appeals to them. They think they're going to go over there and find men. What they find when they get over there is savage beasts who rape them and mistreat them and treat them like trash. Yeah, they end up killing them too. Yes, sir. But boys and men are going over there and joining them too. Because it's this desire to be a man. This being squelched and being messed up. In the society that we're living in. Now, we got plenty of males that could be men, but lack the motivation to step up to the plate. As long as women are running everything and the men can go on playing with their toys and their games and drinking their beer and watching their football games and smoking their weed and everything continues to run, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change as long as everything keeps it going. But y'all listen to me, things are not going to keep going. And they're not going to keep running smoothly. And we all know and we feel this impending doom that's about to come on us. And savage, violent, cruel enemies have risen up all around the world who hate us. And they're determined to destroy us as a people. You need to understand, you are in their crosshairs. And they are coming after you. Us. Right now. They're flooding into our country right now, over our borders, by the thousands. They're coming in. And everybody knows. And they're saying it on the news. And they're showing pictures. And everybody that's down there knows. It's people from these terrorist countries are coming in through Mexico. They're flying in on airplanes. They're coming in like a flood from all over the world. Right now. Thousands of them are already here, and they've infiltrated our government on all levels, everywhere in our society. I mean, we got a Muslim president. I don't care what anybody says or thinks. It's pretty obvious by now, ain't it? He went to a mosque the other day and took up for them and badmouthed Christians and criticized Christians for being mean to the Muslims. So, you know, you got to be a real goofball not to understand and be able to see what he is by now. And all of his cabinet, all of the people he's put in, they're the same way. They are Muslims and they have ties and connections to all those outfits over there. They are the enemy. They are in control of our government now. And so we have no real men in place of authority anymore. What do you think all that purge that he done two or three times of the military was, where he fired thousands of officers? What do you think all that was about? He got rid of the men. Anybody who would stand. The old timers that have been in there long enough to remember and to know. Children are our oppressors and women rule over us. History is strewn with the wrecks of nations. Now this is a quote. Which have gained a little progressiveness at the cost of a great deal of hard manliness. And have thus prepared themselves for destruction as soon as the movements of the world have a chance for it. And that's where we're at. What is the cost? What have we forfeited? What's going to doom us? The lack of men. Men. Males who know their place. Who became men. Not just grown up, playing their games and doing their stupid stuff. Men. Boys who have become men. That's what we're lacking. When the moment of reckoning comes, and it is coming soon, are we going to find among all these males that have reclused themselves from the workings of society, are we going to find enough real men to stand up for us? What do you think? How many of you boys are ready? I mean, when the cup is passed to you, what are you going to do? You like to act tough. Are you really tough? I mean, you like to talk tough, but how much is there really there? I mean, what is going to happen when you really face it head on? All of us are wondering. I am. I know some men, and I know some old men that are men. But man, I'll tell you what, when I look at this younger generation, I am very concerned. Because I don't know where they're at. I don't know where. I hear their belligerent talk, and I see their proud looks and all of that, but boy, I don't see much real manhood there. When the enemy breaks down the gates and the doors and comes in like a flood, this feminine leadership we have is going to flee. They're not going to stand. Whether they're male or female, Judge Jeannie ain't going to stand and defend us against the enemy. And neither is any of the rest of them that I just mentioned. And neither are these feminine men who are running our government and our Congress and who sit on benches judging with their feminine way of thinking and their... They're not going to save us. They're going to be gone. They will flee. And it's only going to leave us one option. If we have no men, I mean, what is our next line of defense? When they flee, what's our next line of defense? If we have no men in waiting, we have no defense. I mean, it'll just be a slaughter. And if we will be saved, it will be by real men. Not immature little boys who play with their toys and flex their little imitation muscles they got by taking steroids and lifting weights at the gym. Puke! I see these pictures and these big boys that boast about their six packs and their abs. And I think I'd like to take that sucker and make him follow me one day and watch him wilt. Yes, sir. You ain't got nothing in a gym. You become a man with hard, consistent, steady labor and travail. That's the way it is. So I was telling him today, I studied years ago and read up on this, and it said about this, about these big muscles and these weightlifters and everything. It said, you get big muscles and you can look good by lifting a big weight once in a while. But you get real strength and endurance by lifting the lighter weight over and over and over. So they summed it up in an encyclopedia. It said, if you want to look good on the beach, lift the heavy weight a few times. If you want to be able to endure and keep going, lift the little weight a lot of times. Yes, sir. Oh, man. Man, oh, man. And it'll not be the brain-dead gamers and porno freaks who live in a virtual world. We ain't going to find no men there. Count on it. They'll just be a piece of meat laying on the ground, dead. I mean, they're going to be the victims just with everybody else. They ain't nothing to them. They ain't got nothing to them. Takes more than that to make a man. This thing's returning to the old-fashioned way of fighting, and we have no men who are prepared for it. I seen there yesterday where they're building a wall around Baghdad. I read that in the news. Just like the Middle Ages. They're going to build a wall around the city. When they came to take Jericho, they had to knock the wall down. God knocked it down. But when you go to take a city, you had to get through that wall. They're doing it again. The Bible talks about in the last battles, talks about horses being there. Men riding horses in the battle, and we're going backwards. You ever thought about what it'd really be like to fight like they did in the Middle Ages? Like David had to fight, and Jonathan, and all of them that had to fight? I mean, you ever thought about what it's like for that? How many of you women want in on that? I mean, axes and swords and hand to hand, and I mean, rough stuff. How many of you want in on that? How many of you think a woman can do anything a man can do? Let me have an axe and go after him. Anybody want to volunteer? Not on this day where you set off in a halfway around the world and push buttons and kill people. All for that. But that ain't the way it's going to be. All right, I'm done. I'm done. Civilization comes at a cost of manliness. It comes at a cost of wildness, of risk, of strife. It comes at a cost of strength, of courage, of mastery. It comes at a cost of honor. Increased civilization exacts a toll of virility, forcing manliness into further redoubts of vicariousness and abstraction. If you can understand what he's saying there. It cost. And what it cost is manliness. It's what gets it done. Man, oh man. I really, you know, if there's anything that I would do to get you boys to understand, you need to understand some history. You need to go back and, man, you ought to get that documentary of World War II and watch all of that. I mean, 27 discs or something like that and take you through World War II. I mean, what you're going to see there? Some men, buddy. I seen a video and it was taken on VE Day. Well, not VE Day. It was after VE Day when they all come back. I mean, they flew a bunch of the Air Force and everything back over to the United States. And they flew over New York City. All the airplanes. And the people were all out in the streets, you know, to greet them. And those were men. Men that had went to war and won by being men. I mean, they went there to die if they had to. But they went there to win. And they did. I mean, can you imagine what it felt like to watch? There was no women in those airplanes. They were men. Men that had been in the tough of it, boy. I mean, more than any of us here can imagine. Coming home in victory. They defeated the evil. They put it down. At a great cost. What does civilization cost? What has it cost for us to have our country another 70 years? A lot, buddy. And the only reason is because there were some men. All right, I'm going to quit. Got to quit. I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but I'm just too full of it. And this is just, you know, we're going to talk about some other things, but I just want you to understand tonight, we got a great shortage here of men. Where are they going to come from? I don't see any hope of anywhere except in churches like this, where somebody's going to challenge you and tell you how it is and make you understand and help you to see that it's on you. You're coming up. You boys, you're coming up. You're up next. And it's a bad time. I mean, it's a time when it's going to prove real men. We must have them. And a man's more, and I, you know, that's a whole nother message and we'll get to it, but I'm going to tell you what a man is. Yeah. I'm going to try to make you want to be a man. I want to try to stir some desire in you to be a man. A good man. A right man. A godly man. A holy man. A strong man. That's what I want to put in you and try to push you toward and get you to see. Let's stand. My. Father, thank you for this. I pray you'd bless it. I pray, Lord, that it would be effective. I pray it'd bear fruit in lives. Lord, pray, Lord, that you'd work in hearts, especially of these young guys and these boys that are in here. Please help them. Lord, I want them to be men. We're all going to face you soon, someday. And Lord, I pray that they'd face you being a man and having been a man, having done their duty, having been what you designed them to be. Lord, help us all. Lord, we need you in these days. We need strength. All of us do. But Lord, we need to get things in order. Please help us. Help this to mold the thinking of everybody here in this room and everybody else that might hear. I know that I've said a lot of things that nobody says anymore because they're afraid to. It's offensive in the time we live in. I pray you'd help everybody here tonight to understand the difference between the truth of the Word of God and the warped philosophies of this popular culture that we live in that has polluted everybody's thinking. Lord, help us to recognize it in ourselves. There's no reason for anybody to be offended with anything that I've said here tonight if they believe the Word of God and they believe that you created us and they believe that you created us man and woman and that we each have our role to fulfill. There's no reason anybody should be offended. I've tried to honor both and help them to see that we need both. And we need to get in our place and stay there. Men need to step up to their place. They've backed off from it. And it's our demise if we don't get them back in their place. Lord, help us. I pray you'd help us now. Bless the fellowship. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.